You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Even after all these years, I miss him when he goes. Stugatz just came back into the room after a three-day vacation. He came in grumbling, muttering, unshaven. I'm guessing every time he goes on one of these Grateful Dead trips, he comes back with knowing less than he did before he left. So I'm guessing that he has not heard what was, I believe, in our universe, the seismic story that exploded yesterday. Do you know the name Joaquin Gonzalez? Do you know anything about Joaquin Gonzalez? It's a name.
I know he played offensive line for the University of Miami way back.
Yes, right? And he was also a Cleveland Brown. And I think I can speak for the Cubans, many of the Cubans in our audience. We all have a Cuban friend like this, who just isn't in on the joke or is a little serious. And I need to start by saying I loved Joaquin Gonzalez, a champion. He's one of the known linemen in the history of the program, offensive linemen. Okay, well, we'll hear from you in a second.
What?
Well, yes, yes. So do you know what happened with Joaquin Gonzalez yesterday?
I have no idea.
Okay, Manny Navarro, who used to work for the Miami Herald, wrote an article for The Athletic, and it's about Miami's offensive line coach, Alex Mirabal. We've been talking about him. He's a tiny person. He's six, he's like 5'4", and he really is rabid and is all about whatever Mario Cristobal is all about. But Manny Navarro went to Joaquin Gonzalez. Mike, you have a friend like this, right? I'm assuming you have the Cuban friend who's just a little too serious or just misses things because he's Joaquin Gonzalez. And I don't want to beef with Joaquin Gonzalez, but now he's brought the fight to us, Stugatz, because in an article in which Alex Mirabal is quoted as saying, "I will cut off my arms and my legs before anybody considers the offensive line here to be a weakness." That's a good quote.
It is. It's also a lie. I mean,
okay,
he wouldn't do that.
That's fine. You can accuse him of lying. It's not really necessary. Yes, he probably wouldn't coach as a torso. But thank you for your hot take on that.
You're welcome.
As part of the article about Alex Mirabal, Manny Navarro went to Joaquin Gonzalez, and for some reason, they were talking about our interview, or mostly Pipo's interview, with Mario Cristobal. And here's the beginning of the article, Stugatz.
Okay.
Dateline Coral Gables. Whether it was part of the joke or simply intended to poke the bear, Dan Le Batard's playful interview with new Miami coach Mario Cristobal last week didn't make Joaquin Gonzalez laugh, not even a giggle. It wasn't anything Le Batard said. It was Pipo, the over-the-top Cuban Canes fan portrayed by Billy Gill, a producer of Le Batard's hit show, allegedly. That's not accurate.
Speculation.
That's not accurate.
Is that double source verified?
We know the truth around here, but that's irresponsible reporting by Navarro here. Pipo questioned the hiring of Alex Mirabal, Cristobal's former Miami Columbus High teammate, and best friend. And here is the money quote from Gonzalez. I wanted to punch Dan Le Batard and that Beepo in the effing mouth. You can tell this Beepo obviously doesn't know shit about football.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Dan, first of all, thank you for having me back and stop bothering me because it's not football season. You said that this Joaquin, whatever his name is, doesn't get the joke. He is the joke. He's a has-been
No
one's thought about for 20 years.
No.
And speaking of has-beens no one's thought about for 20 years, Manny Diaz Navarro, writing these articles behind some stupid thing that you have to pay for that nobody's reading. And you said that he just mentioned. He didn't mention shit. He started the article writing about that. Because by the best that I can see, Manny Navarro, if you start reading the article, had to go to Tire Kingdom, and that's where he found this Joaquin Gonzalez who sells tires now. And he started asking
people, what do
you think about Alex Bell? And the guy that was changing his tires just so happened to be on or around the University of Miami at some point in time. Because I started looking him up. And you know what happened when I typed in his name to Google? I swear, I'm not making
this
up. I'm not lying. By the way, Stugatz, be careful because I'm not here to call Alex Mirabal a liar, but that's a mentira. But anyway, you know what happened when I typed in Joaquin Gonzalez in Google? I'm telling you the truth. Google said to me, and I quote, "Who the f- is that guy?" That's what Google said to me when I looked him up. So I had to do more digging
to see
who this person is. It's true. It's true. And you know, sometimes the picture on the top of Google changes. It was Conor McGregor's face, and it said, "Who the f- is that guy?" That's what it said when I typed in Joaquin Gonzalez.
So
I had to do more digging, Dan. Yes.
F-O-O-K. Okay, I'm sorry. You're very angry, and I don't think it's responsible to say that Joaquin Gonzalez, who's a...
What's not responsible is Manny Diaz Navarro inciting violence and putting out things of people threatening others. And I'll say this right now, Joaquin Gonzalez, if you can hear me through the thick head of yours,
I know.
I dare you to punch Dan Le Batard in the face if you said you were going to do it. I dare you to do it. You know where he works. Go to the Clevelander today if you have any guts and tell Franklin that people said it's okay. And you walk into that studio and you punch Dan right in the face if you are not a liar. I'm telling you right. Doesn't know about
Franklin,
take your X's and your O's and you go play tic-tac-toe with your boy Brett Romberg and leave me alone and leave my name out of your mouth.
Okay.
This guy talking about how great he is at football. You know what I found after we already talked about what I found on Google? I start going down. And what happened when everybody was winning national championships around here? Joaquin Gonzalez was winning awards for doing homework. That's the award that he was getting. He's so smart. He does all his homework. Here's an award. Academic. Who gives a shit about the academic high school? Who cares about that? Nobody. You play for the Browns and you did nothing. And now what are you doing?
You're
fighting with Dan Le Batard and threatening to punch him in the face over things that he said last week in an interview. And guess what? And this is a lesson for him, and it's a lesson for Manny Diaz Navarro. You know what it is that happened last week? It's a little thing called journalism where you ask people difficult questions. It's not go out there and start writing about how much you love your high school football coach. Because guess what my high school football coach is doing right now? He's coaching high school football. So it's a fair question to ask why it is that this idiot, the Corral's high school football coach, is now the coach of the dopest team out there. Which, by the way, he pretends to love so much. But you know what else I found when I was going around there? Pictures of Joaquin Sanchez wearing clothes from FIU.
It's not Sanchez.
That's what I saw. And he was going around talking. And I'll bring up the tweets right now if you want. I'll bring them up right here. I root for my program. Bullshit. But I remain committed to the championship way. That's why at Coach Davis, that's Butch Davis, by the way, who's a traitor, another De Caral, who left, and now he's coaching our enemy FIU, and he's wearing their clothes, and Coach Cristobal have made me an FIU and Oregon fan. Take back your award for your stupid homework that you did and give it back and leave this vicinity right now and go back to Tire Kingdom where no one cares what you think about anything except Manny Diaz-Navarro. That's it.
It's not Tire Kingdom. If he got good grades and he played in professional football, why do you
He didn't play anything. Does anybody remember him? No. No, what did he do in the NFL? What did he do? Let me calm down. Let me give him a fair chance. What did he do?
Mike, you're the Browns fan. How he played for a couple of seasons.
As a cup of coffee, Dan.
He played for the Colts with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, gracias, people. Anything else? I'm sorry, Manny Navarro. You've just been torched. It's a paywall.
Sorry for what? What are we sorry for him for? By the way, I'm happy that I saw that he wrote this article because no one's heard from that guy in 10 years either, and I was starting to get worried about it.
Okay. Thank you, people. We appreciate your efforts.
Inciting violence over here.
Okay. Yes.
Joaquin Gonzalez is 6'6", by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be careful, Dan. Threatening you.
Yeah.
Punch you in the face.
6'6".
You're daring him to do it, though, right?
Punch you in the face, too, though. He wants to punch
you. If he's a man of his word, he'll go to the studio right now and punch Dan in the face. If not, that's fine. He's a liar. Like the one that said he's going to cut off his arms and legs. Which, by the way, Mirabal, I wouldn't be cutting off my legs if I was you. Can't get any shorter.
Oh, come on. Come on. Come on, people.
But he did have that guy for the Lions, whatever it is that Cristobal said. We'll see. What does this guy even care about, honestly, Joaquin Gonzalez? He's an FIU fan. Why is he even talking? Shut up.
I don't want these problems. He's not going to get he's not going to.
Dan Levitard responds to it.
It's going to be
a hell of a response by you.
I'm going to get aggregated and it's going to say, I dare you. Come to the Clevelander, knock over security. Franklin.
Be careful. He's big, Dan.
Thank you, people, for your concern. In the middle of that, you know what? This was funny. This happened this weekend. Did you guys notice this? It made me laugh because the announcer, and I don't know who it was trying to rise to the moment of Ben Roethlisberger's last game, you know, dramatics, you know, this isn't just to save the season for the Steelers. This is to save another game for the Steelers of Ben Roethlisberger's career. It does not end here and now. And he tried to go and reach the moment, and the announcer on a touchdown, the only one in the game, I think, by the Steelers, on the one touchdown, another one of those three-yard passes, the announcer goes, Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger Sr.
I heard that. Ian Eagle went for it. That was great.
That's a great call, man.
You know why? Because he's thinking that might be like his last touchdown, his last ride, and if that's where it ends, wasn't accounting for the draw, wasn't accounting for the Jaguars winning, wasn't accounting for all the things that happened subsequently that led to the Steelers getting in the playoffs.
But you have to go with the middle name there, right? The entire name, just to meet that moment. Correct?
Oh, what I loved about the cadence of it is, on top of the delight of you go, Ian Eagle, you go get it, with hitting us with the long form on Ben, which no one's used, Benjamin. Then the reveal to America. His middle name is Todd? Because most of the people did not know that, I'm assuming. Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger. Can't
Big
stop
Benjamin.
There.
Yeah.
Big Benjamin.
Senior.
Senior. Senior. That's funny. I did not know there was a Ben Jr. before. Two bits of news to me. I did not know that Ben had named his son Ben. That's a lot of information. Ian Eagle, a professional broadcaster, he knew what he was doing there because that was the emotional Stugatz of the weekend. If you like the storyline stuff, a quarterback who can't quite keep up with Brady because no one can.
Right. But it's nice that Ben is still alive. It's nice that Ben, you know, has another game. It's a playoff game. Might make a run in the playoffs. Who knows? It's nice to have Ben Roethlisberger, you know, one last hurrah. I'm rooting for Ben. I am. It would be an ugly...
No, they're going to get dragged and slaughtered by the Chiefs in the first game.
Well, you don't
game.
Know that, Dan. They're a dangerous team. Be careful. I mean, every time I think the Steelers are going to get dragged, Mike Tomlin coaches his ass off, and they're in a game at the end with a chance to win.
Okay. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Everything he just said coaches his ass
what
off.
What did I say?
Well, I wanted to talk about Tomlin for a second as the Dolphins fire their blackhead coach.
Angry blackhead coach, Dan.
Now he's angry,
yeah,
right?
He's got,
wasn't angry.
He's got an anger problem now.
He wasn't angry 24 hours ago, but
he's
now.
Very mean former head coach.
Stugatz, where were you? We haven't gotten your fresh reaction because you were in flight from a Grateful Dead concert in Mexico that did not happen. It was canceled on the way over there. You came in here agitated, grumpy, not the way you usually start a work week doing something we love. You were just harumphing because this trip was a misery, evidently.
Well, I mean, it was just... You go on a trip to a concert to see a band that you love, and while you're on the way there on the airplane, excited with your family, they cancel the concert. So, you know, we had a nice time. They gave us a hotel room for free for the weekend, so it was nice to spend some time with my wife and kids. It was also impossible to try to change my travel plans down there. It just became very difficult and stressful. I wish that the first thing my mind went to when I heard about Brian Flores being fired, well, a couple of things, Dan. A, I was shocked. B, I was thinking one of these teams who just fired their head coach is going to hire Brian Flores because I believe him to be a good head coach. And then I went immediately to Jim Harbaugh because I know there's a connection there, and I don't care what Stephen Ross says, and I know he's nixing any sort of conversations or interest in Jim Harbaugh. He should care more about the Dolphins than the college he attended 1,000 years ago. I think they are clearly going after Jim Harbaugh, and I guess I can't really fault him for doing that.
Well,
I can't.
Well, let me backtrack for a second here, because what would Stephen Ross and the Dolphins have to do to dissuade anybody that Harbaugh's not the guy? Because everyone's having Stugatz's reaction of that's a bold-faced lie, and Stephen Ross came out pretty strong, like putting your name on, putting in quotes, hey, I'm not taking Jim Harbaugh from Michigan. Am I a sucker for believing him? Because I thought, just like everyone else did, I jumped to the conclusion of it must be Harbaugh. They were trying to get Harbaugh a few years ago. But when Stephen Ross puts his name, even as little as I expect of these owners, and as much as you could criticize Stephen Ross, because Stugatz, that sport legislates equality. For the Dolphins to play in a sport where you're continually given gifts for being not good enough.
Right.
In a salary-capped sport, in 20 years, they've gone to the playoffs twice, and they've never won. Buffalo, look, Buffalo got better. 17 years, no playoffs, Buffalo gets better. Tomlin, the way a black coach can keep his job forever, is never be under 500. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the playoffs again, on a franchise in Pittsburgh, that is what the Dolphins purported to be, back before we started taking Shula's name off of the stuff
right
in Miami Lakes. The Miami Dolphins were the winningest franchise across American sports because they had Don Shula and they had those teams that built this city that were forever ago, half a century ago. Greg Cody was a young man. He was a teenager. Grew up on that's where his allegiances are. Cody's allegiances were he arrived in the 70s and he's like, boom, They're undefeated. They're the best team in American football as American football starts to climb as a sport.
I don't know what the percentages are anymore, but I feel like that narrative about, because when I was growing up, like 10, 12 years old, I would always hear Dolphins winning his franchise in sports history. In the last like 8 to 10 years, I feel like that is just kind of like
gone
away. Like, I haven't heard anyone say that in like 7 or 8 years.
20 uh-huh. years. And what I want the audience to absorb on what happened with this firing, because it caught us all off guard here that it happened. And our reaction probably wasn't swift or granular enough, because it felt, and this does not happen often, it felt like a legitimate surprise to just about anybody listening after Jay Glazer tells you, no, he's safe. And Jay Glazer's information is almost always right. Nobody remembers Jay Glazer being wrong on this stuff. He's safe. And then a bomb explodes locally in sports at a position in sports that still matters in this town. Because when a coach gets fired, the last 20 years, you guys, they've done such a good job of shitting and urinating all over everything Shula built. With not just losing, but incompetence. Only nationally relevant when Saban is fleeing the premises. Only nationally relevant when Richie Incognito is bullying a teammate. Just a regional football team. From the winningest thing in sports to a regional football team that nobody's cared about for 20 years outside of South Florida.
I haven't had a reason to.
Fires a coach, and unlike all the other coach firings that we obsess over that end up being a positive by just removing a negative, just the happiest days in football, Stugatz, down here in South Florida for 20 years, a once mighty town of champion Hurricanes and champion Dolphins, you saw what happened to pissing all over the Dolphin stuff for 20 years. A national embarrassment, only appearing to be nationally embarrassing. And Stephen Ross, who has been the one who has presided over that, a clown show in a sports where equality is baked in. You'll get better. Arizona will get better. Everybody, they'll get better. Nobody stays down for this long. Just the Lions.
And the Jets.
And the Browns.
How are three of the four teams that are in this room represented in this room? It's almost impossible.
It is. It's amazing. It is the undercurrent of loser that presides over our entire show. We as sports fans are losers. But Miami football used to win. Miami football, college and pro, put this city on America's sight.
Even in the 80s, when they weren't winning Super Bowls, they had the best quarterback in the NFL. They were exciting. People wanted to watch the Dolphins.
That is correct.
Yeah.
People knew what they were watching, and they knew it represented greatness, excellence, and they knew it right away, which is rare, where you get it like with Dwayne Wade and Dan Marino. I think those are the only two times in the history of South Florida sports. Did anyone do that in college? Did anyone in college where you're just like, whoa, that's no, not Edger and James, not any of them, I don't think. Just arrive, and this town, a football town that was taken over by the Heat, fired a coach in what I believe to be, instead of one of these celebrated coaching applause things, the audience recognized that's not fair. The audience, but that's not just us. The audience was like, well, that's surprising, and also that's not fair. That team in 3 years has been right on the cusp of the playoffs in a sport where everything is split by half a game, Stu guys. So you saw the Cleveland Browns crawling to get to the top of the division, end up on the bottom of the division just because everybody got hurt. Now they'll eke out another year out of Baker Mayfield, squeeze it out because he'll be good enough for one more year.
You believe in that?
Maybe it's not true.
And I believe we finished third.
Okay, you know what my point is, though? Like, right, they've been on the precipice, as we've all been watching, another rebuild, the 10th rebuild that swallowed Saban and Parcells. Like, that's, guys, think about the dysfunction to go from the organization winningest in sports, Shula, to we're going to get two saviors in this sport, like gods, legitimate gods, Parcells and Saban, and they'll get swallowed in that muck just like Dave Wannstedt. The best you'd get in there would be Jimmy Johnson. And he got you one playoff win by 3 points with Marino at the end at Seattle. And it's been just so bad, like just 3 decades of not being what Shula was. 3 decades of it slowly going into the toilet. And look at, Stugatz, when I put the Steelers and the Dolphins side by side as historic American sports franchises.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, who started in much the same way that the Dolphins did, with a legendary champion, gritty, integrity coach who represented a region. The Steelers have had 3 coaches. Hmm. The Steelers, Mike Tomlin can withstand even something that'll come up and grab black Brian Flores because he's got an organization behind him, not unlike the Dolphins were once upon a time. that can have three coaches in their history as everyone else gets fired on another Monday. Three in their history, Stugatz. The Dolphins were that. They squandered all of it. And yesterday, they wronged a man who had done a good job by the results, the fan base would tell you. And so I ask you this. What's the information that needs to be reported about management style and people not liking you and not being able to hire staff because people don't want to work for you, or being like the drill sergeant of the Patriot way? There's something here. The Dolphins are sort of leaking in the shadows that is not just about the results. There was something happening in that building with the reports leaking out through insiders,
right?
Where like he wasn't getting along with people, temper problem. And what do I have to present to you that would make the argument on behalf of Stephen Ross so you wouldn't say he's a liar right now? When you're saying, get out of here, it's going to be Harbaugh.
In terms of, Dan, there's really nothing he can offer me in terms of Flores. I'm not going to buy it right now because I heard nothing over 3 years about Flores having anger problems, being an issue in the locker room. I didn't hear about it. I only started hearing about it yesterday after the Dolphins decided to fire him. So there's really nothing that Stephen Ross could kind of sell me on as to why he fired Brian Flores, because I really do believe it to be this simple. You don't fire a coach that other people covet unless you know you have what you believe to be a better head coach coming in. And I think that will make Dolphin fans feel better if indeed he goes and gets this coach, because this coach was a play away from winning a Super Bowl. That's an upgrade at the head coaching position, in my opinion. So I think that would make Dolphin fans kind of understand why Stephen Ross did what he did.
Just to play devil's advocate here, and I think Flores should have kept his job, but how many years does he have to go not making the playoffs before you start saying maybe we should look for an upgrade?
I would just take a more macro view of that and say, first year, we're all in agreement. When you've got Dominique Foxworth speaking on television about it being immoral for the Dolphins to be fielding a team in the first game that's not professionally competitive and would lose by 50 to Baltimore in the first game. That's where it started. I do not live in a sports world that is so fast forwarded, not even through a pandemic, that a coach gets fired when that's the clear and known starting point. Even in a boiler, in a league that's a boiler, it burps out and belches out 3 years, we're going to grind you up and fire you. Pete Carroll got dumb fast, man.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll got old fast. That league chews people up. First year, I got to give him, okay, put it aside. You were trying to build something else. First year is where his losses are when they now cite that the record is 24 and 25. First year is in there, right? When they say the record's 24 and 25, 3 year sample size on your screens, that says loser on your television screens, 24 and 25. That's not what we've seen down here.
First year was 5-11.
And a miracle to get to that.
With Ryan Fitzpatrick being your leading rusher, like that team was abysmal. Five wins was a miracle that season.
Dominique Foxworth telling you, immoral for that team to be playing football. And look, he said other things, but let's just place it there. An NFL football player got on ESPN, Harvard educated, looked at a sport he's got some expertise over and said, that is not fit to be professional. People are going to get hurt. As a leader in the players union, he was telling you, I worry for the bodies of those people. They are not equipped to play 5-11 in that league. Better than the Lions this year, better than the Jags, better than the Jets. 5-11 and a goddamn miracle. Maybe his best coaching job in the 3 years.
Should have won Coach of the Year.
Ended Tom Brady in New England, too. Remember they won that final day and they forced him to play, I think, away at Tennessee in the first round and they lost?
Had nothing. Nothing on that team.
In terms of believing... Oh, damn it.
You okay?
In terms of believing Stephen Ross, this comes down to whether they get Harbaugh. If Harbaugh ends up being here, we can all look back and be like, we're idiots. That's what I'm saying.
But
if they end up hiring somebody else, you could say to yourself, okay, we're all speculating Harbaugh. It's not Harbaugh. Maybe there were some relationship issues.
My point, Chris, was that they got me to back off. I thought it was Harbaugh. Once I see Ross's name on, I'm not taking him from Michigan. I'm like, man, the lie's not going to be like that. This guy's been 20 years buried as one of the worst owners we've had in the history of South Florida sports, as he's built stuff and actually has, you know, tried to do some right things.
But if Jim wants to go to the NFL, do you think Stephen Ross is going to allow him to go to another team? He has a relationship with him. His name's on every building at the University of Michigan.
I'm not disputing that there are all sorts of reasons for us to jump to this conclusion. I don't assume that Stephen Ross is going to put his name on a lie. You do. That he's going to put his name on a lie right on the front end.
But that's the political dance that he's trying to do right now, because as Stugat said, he's donated close to $500 million to the university and to the football program as well. He's kind of the closest thing that Michigan football has to Phil Knight. He donates a ton of money to that program. And so the idea that you've got to kind of walk this tightrope, if you want Jim Harbaugh to coach your NFL team, you kind of got to walk this tightrope of, well, if he wants to leave to go to the NFL, then I'll talk to him, but I can't openly recruit him, otherwise I'm stabbing my program in the back, after we just made the playoff for the first time and had our first breakthrough season in years.
Just quickly on the Flores thing to close that loop, I 3 years in the NFL not making the playoffs, that typically does it. He's had two games over the last year to get himself into the playoffs, and his famed defense gave up a combined 90 points in them.
That's a good point.
Okay, and this is what I would just ask you, Mike. So I throw away the first season, and I tell you now, I was getting to the point of what this arc has been, because we have lived the microwaved Stugat. Oh, here's one of the Belichick assistants that actually looks like he is competent. Not like Bill O'Brien, who's now going to snake his way back into interviews in Jacksonville that quickly. This is one
perennial playoff appearances for Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
With a quarterback that now the Dolphins are going to sell
with
their...
With also Brian Hoyer.
With a quarterback the Dolphins are going to sell their soul to get now. Sell their franchise soul if they move off of Tua. But I'm fascinated by, and how can you not be about this part of it, how microwaved the 2 years is. Because now baked into, after 5-11, Stugat, first year, throw it away, throw it aside. I'm going to measure you on the last 2 years, and I'm going to measure you on the first 1 year of sample size on a healthy first round pick and 1 year of Fitzpatrick. What are you getting me? You're getting me one game from the playoffs. I'm telling you that's not fireable. You can argue with me about whether that's success or not. I'm telling you that doesn't feel fireable to me. If you had told me from the start Brian Flores needs to do this in 3 years, a playoff appearance, or he's fired, I would have said that's not fair. That's not where the Dolphins are. They've been bad for 20 years and they don't have a quarterback fix. They've been bad for 20 years in a way that swallows the saviors, Parcells and Saban. Like, it's a dysfunctional organization. It starts with what Stephen Ross is at the top. That's when they say these things rot from the top. They did this to Huizenga, who was not a bad owner. I don't know if Stephen Ross is a bad owner or not. I know some of the Dolphin coaches have issues with him. What I don't understand is what just happened, where Brian Flores gets fired and the audience reacts to this more than I've seen a reaction since Saban left. That was a poisonous reaction, an odious reaction. But this is against the franchise. It feels like no one is out here, outside of Mike Ryan, peeking in and saying, well, maybe it is reasonable to fire this guy.
Don't put this on me. I'm telling you, I'm playing devil's advocate. I think Flores should have stayed. But I've seen the NFL, and 3 years not making the postseason.
It happens.
In your 3 years,
right.
That shit happened.
And if you look at the records for Gase and Philbin, they both got 3 seasons. Like,
yep.
This is like consistent with what he's done. I mean, I'm like kind of like doing the same thing. I think Flores should have kept his job. It's more just about a feel. With Gase and Philbin, even though they had similar records, it was like, okay, I kind of get that. This thing is not going well. There's just a sense around the team that Brian Flores is not the problem here. And it's just, that's the odd part.
Unless you think he's sabotaging Tua or sabotaging quarterback development or sabotaging offense.
Or bad relationships. Like, there could be truth to what Stephen Ross is saying. Maybe he's, you know, a jerk.
I mean, you're handed a responsibility as Brian Flores. We're going to be bad in year one. We're going to take a quarterback in year two. Your job is to develop this quarterback into our franchise quarterback. And if you determine that after 2 years that he's failed in that job, that's the way that you defend him firing from an on-field standpoint.
But the difference is, guys, this feels like it's trending up because they're 19-4. Excuse me.
$5.
Why didn't Chris get fined $5? Seriously.
We said it.
I mean, listen, I had a rough weekend in Mexico. I don't know what you guys want from me. It's going to happen. Fine, I'll pay the $5. This
rough
feels like
weekend.
It's trending upwards. They're 19-14 over the last two seasons.
What was so rough about chilling on a beach in Mexico?
For free.
What do you mean, for free?
You said that you got Compton, that you got everything for free. So you went to Mexico at some fancy ass resort for free, but you're telling us it was a horrible weekend.
60 to 90 days on the refund, Billy. I mean, we'll see if I get it. And I'm going to see what else I can get out of them because I'm very, very upset about this.
Wait, this is all about what I can parlay this into.
Imagine being on a plane to the Super Bowl and they cancel the game while you're on the plane. Imagine how you would feel. I am devastated right now.
All right.
You've seen them 1,000 times.
Yeah. But only 17 times on a beach in Mexico with George R.R. Martin. That's it.
You told the hotel that it was your first time seeing them, didn't you?
Yes.
This is part of the long con. He needs to be publicly upset about this so that he can use this to get more.
Yep.
Hold on. Before we continue. Put your money on the table.
Well, I only have a 20 here.
Put it on the table!
Yeah.
Did you tell him you were bringing your dad? It's the first time we're going.
I didn't tell him about my dad. No, I didn't tell him about
that. Might be the last time he gets to see him.
Yeah, it's a good idea, though.
Stugatz, I want to pin you down on something because this is, after 20 years, and this is usually how it happens. I miss him at the beginning and 20 minutes in, so many slithery, awful things happen that I'm reminded of why I'm so happy upon
support your argument
getting to Vegas. And then so dirty after about 36 hours there. That's the Stugatz experience. You get there, and then you immediately want to leave.
Love you too.
The thing I want to pin you down on, because you're trying to wiggle away from me on this. What am I trying to pin you down on? You for no reason, and Billy jumped in there and he seized on it. For no reason, you threw in everyone's face that the trip was comped. You did it on the front end. You said
at the very least they should comp it.
Okay,
no,
but you said I had a free weekend in Mexico and you came here complaining about it. A free weekend in Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure the audience heard it the Billy way. Really? Tough life, Stugatz. And you've been complaining and you just got fined $5 for the rough weekend you had, free weekend in Mexico. Why the gratuitous lie of the weekend was free? Why would you tell us that? Why would you tell
everyone? Well, that's not a lie. That's obvious. That's the truth.
Why the gratuitous lie that the weekend was tough?
The marijuana. I mean, I just didn't want to admit to it. And we shouldn't say that either. But we did, and we had to do something with it. And what we did with it was, I smoked it. And so I had a rough weekend, man. It was very stressful. I'm in Cancun. My daughters are expecting a concert. My wife's expecting a concert.
We have to protect them.
Did you just admit to...
It may have sounded like that. What I really meant was I was, I know a guy down there. And so I took care of business while I was in Mexico. Thank you for the protection.
There's nothing more stressful than having a flight in 4 hours and having 6 pre-rolls left. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right. You got to get rid of them. Mike, and they're not going in the garbage, I promise you.
Mike, you need to just bleep.
Right in my lungs.
You need to bleep out a good section of this so that it's just a chunk of censored material so that Stugatz hasn't admitted to
shit.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
I want to get to what happened over the weekend with the University of Miami basketball team winning at Duke, and I want to get to the Florida Panthers, who are again playing very well. But before I do that, I want to see, as someone who is always wandering around this content farm, seeing if I stumble into something that is oil, I learned of something this weekend. You would think, based on the look of me, that I would be someone who would have some fast food expertise. But it was something I did not know that was trending over the weekend, which is that there's something special about McDonald's Sprite. That McDonald's Sprite is a thing that is considered, not unlike French fries when you think of the best you will find. It's not merely that McDonald's Sprite is considered something that people really like, that it seems to be stronger than all the other Sprites and is very specifically something that will blow your eyebrows off.
Don't really drink their Sprite a lot, but I've always felt this way about their Coca-Cola. Like, it's a Coca-Cola from McDonald's is better than a Coca-Cola from other fast food restaurants. I don't know. And nowadays, don't get me started on these modern machines where it's like I can get seven flavors of Sprite, seven flavors of Coke. That ruins the flavor for all of it. But if it's an old-fashioned machine, there is just something about McDonald's. I didn't know it was just Sprite, though. What are people... I haven't heard this, the Sprite thing.
I think it's all of the fountain drinks because I've read that they have some, like, advanced filtration system. So their Coke and their Sprite and all their fountain drinks taste better than any other fast food place. Like, they do something that makes it taste better.
I Googled it. According to Spoon University, McDonald's uses a higher ratio of syrup concentrate to carbonated water than your normal soda, which is why it tastes different and, in some opinions, better.
And their straws are great.
Great straws.
The best straws from McDonald's. I had one over the weekend because, you know, after you have a... I was in the Keys this weekend. You got to have some fast food on the way back from the Keys.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. At Lebatard Show, do you have to have some fast food on your way home from the Keys?
And I was doing the thing where I was, like, breaking the straw on my center console. We've all done this. When do you guys straw, by the way, when you're leaving a fast food restaurant? Like, are you straw? Like, if you're heading from... I know, I'm getting on
a great question.
When you... Let's say you're... Yeah, when do you straw? When you are leaving a fast food restaurant, you're about to take it home to eat. Are you strawing right when you get it in the car?
Straight away.
I don't like to waste the soda, though. Do you have the self-discipline? I don't like it. There's nothing worse than getting home to sit down to eat and you have like a third of a soda left. Like you gotta, I like to save the soda till I get home.
I hate to say, I'm calling bullshit on your fast food making it home. There's no way in hell that you're getting fast food and it's making its way home.
I'll admit, everyone has one little side order they do that this is what I'll eat on the way home. Like my main course will be
at
home. Not a side order.
You order a snack?
No, I'm just saying,
like if I order McDonald's, I'll get my meal with the drink and the fries and then maybe a little McChicken for the ride home. Well, also I'll have a McChicken and that'll be the...
We all do this,
a drive snack?
I love this idea.
Oh, get out of here. You guys are... Oh, I'm going to be alone on an island here? No.
This is what I don't back off. First of all, lean into it, okay? Don't be scared and don't let them run you off it with their food judgments. I always feel judged because I'm the guy that will walk around a grocery store while shopping for groceries and I'll just start eating a bar. I feel like I'm being judged by others. Chris, you and I would be people who would have a little snack on the way home to have the fast food. I want to put on the poll at Lebatard Show, is McDonald's Sprite better than all the other Sprites?
McDonald's straws are the best, too. That should be
Are McDonald's straws better than all the other straws? And will you or do you have the self-discipline to not have anything from the bag, the fast food bag?
No, you guys all pick fries.
Before you get home.
Oh, that's okay. Fries, you're not a fat ass.
I eat the whole meal. It doesn't get home.
Chicken, I can't...
No, it's about ordering extra food.
I don't order a side meal.
You get a large fry, you show up, and it's 50% consumed.
You guys, wait a minute.
That's the side meal.
First
the
off,
side meal is taking right, away from your
you
meal.
You go to McDonald's, you get your, let's say you're doing a Big Mac meal, the Big Mac fry drink. That's all you guys are ordering? You guys don't do the extra item? Billy, you're an extra item guy. Come on, Billy. Billy?
No, I'm telling you, I eat the whole meal in the car on the way home. It doesn't make it home. But I'm not going to sit down.
But you just get one value meal. Like you don't ever, like, it's always you get a meal and then you get a little, like, whatever your other favorite item is.
I didn't know this was a thing until you said it. I've known no one else that
a
does
little
that.
Snack
you
all. Before the meal.
Of course, Dan. Yeah, this is
eating
a thing.
Two sandwiches.
An appetizer, if you will.
But of course, I'm eating two sandwiches.
I want to know what this is at each fast food place.
No, but what he's really asking you, there is, do you get three items or do you get four? Do you get a sandwich, fries?
Fries, not an item.
Sandwich, fries, and a drink? Or do you add a McNuggets? What do you mean fries, not an
in
item?
In my mind, that's the math I'm doing about? In my head. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to eat most of the fries because I'm really not. I know, look at me. You don't believe. I'm not a huge fry guy like at McDonald's, Burger King, all the burger places.
What?
I hardly ever finish the fries. I like the sandwich. That's why I'll get the McChicken.
Because you're having an entire meal before. That's why you're not finishing the fries.
That's stunning, though, that you are leaving fries. Put that on the poll as well, Guillermo. Do you ever leave fries when you're eating at the fast food restaurant? Because that might be the most shocking thing that you've said here.
I'm just, I know, you too. You've never added an extra item to it. No. You just get a value meal. Like you, I'll take the number 7 with a Pepsi. You never say also a cheesy gordita crunch.
No, I don't add. No, I don't add to it.
I think
is that your Taco Bell side order?
Yeah.
Like, what is it at each place?
I'll give it to you.
Taco Bell after
the Taco Bell is the side order is the cheesy gordita crunch. But I put that because what I do is number 7, which is the chicken quesadilla meal that comes with the soft taco. The soft taco is usually my. The driving home, like the item I'll eat in the car.
But Taco Bell actually has combos that are designed for what you're saying.
Yeah.
Here's like the combo and, hey, here's an extra hard shell
taco. But the cheesy gordita, but I need them. the combos don't meet my standards, so I need to, you know, I do my thing.
You're the first person that I've ever heard do this.
Is there a limit, or like the snack for the ride home has to be like a dollar menu item? Like,
it needs to be one of the smaller. You don't want to do one of your main things on the ride home.
I'll side with you and say that if I'd get a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke, I might also get like a 59-cent hamburger something.
That's all I'm talking about here. It's something extra. I mean, I'm looking around at some of these guts around here. These guys over here.
They're judging the hell out of you, Chris. You're feeling insecure.
You get an extra burger from McDonald's? What?
I mean, just look at your ally there, Chris.
I mean, jeez.
It's just
you don't do the dessert. You don't dabble like a Hershey Sunday pie.
Apple pie.
Oreo McFlurry. Yes. I'll do.
Wait a minute.
That's dessert.
That's dessert. It's a fourth thing.
You don't feel gross.
Of course I feel gross. Like, what are we talking about here? I feel gross 3 bites in, but beforehand, I have a passion. I don't feel
gross until after I've left the Wendy's after the McDonald's.
Yeah. Over the break, I did do an Uber Eats thing where I Uber Eats something separate. My wife wanted something, and I was like, but I just want one thing from here, and it was a thing.
Wait, what was it?
Yeah, give us the deets.
What was it? I think it was Wendy's she wanted, and I was like, all right, so I ordered something from her. I was like, you know what? But I said cheesy gordita. I got a cheesy gordita crunch from Taco Bell, just delivered by itself. It's sad. I have a close Taco Bell to my house, so it's...
So you spent like $6 on Uber Eats, but the thing
I think it ended up being a $13 cheesy gordita crunch.
What? That's just amazing. It's close to your house. Why didn't you just drive there?
You know, the holidays were rough for me, Billy, if you remember.
I couldn't leave the holiday house. You are really, they are judging the holy hell out of you on this food thing. When I want to put on the poll as well, Guillermo, please, at Levitard Show, when you get your fast food meal, is it 3 items or is it 4? Because I think we're talking about the same thing. We're just talking about order. If you get a dessert, Chris, then all you're saying is, on the way home, do you have some of the fries?
I'm getting an appetizer, and they're judging me. They get dessert, which is more unhealthy than my appetizer, but the dessert is okay.
I think it's all pretty unhealthy.
Well,
I'm not judging you either, by the way.
No, I'm not. It just feels excessive.
I am.
Because the McNugget meal, the Big Mac meal, the Baconator meal. Like, whenever I'm there, I feel disgusting.
I'm not getting too... See, you don't
know. I've gotten home from Inter-Miami games. It's 11:45 at night. The first McDonald's I go to is a line of 15 cars. The second one is a line of 15 cars. And I go to the third one because I'm disgusting.
Nah, but you don't get the math on this. The McDonald's has main sandwiches, and then they have little side sandwiches. Like a cheeseburger, a McChicken. Those are just like 3 bites. You're done with those
things. The end of the meal, I don't go, this needed more.
Oh, of course.
I go, this needed less.
Yeah.
I'm gross and awful, and I'm going to gain 3 pounds between now and tomorrow morning.
I'm feeling all that. I'm just taking 4 bites from different. I just like more variety. I'm not like necessarily. Trust me, I have done the thing where I overorder, and like by the fourth item, I take 1 bite, and I'm looking in the mirror like, you piece of shit. Look at you right now, trying to stuff down this sandwich. Look at yourself.
Why are you advocating on behalf of the fourth item?
Because when you don't, like, you know, there are times when I put that little side, I don't need the fries, so I get a bite of a McChicken, a bite of a Big Mac, and I'm like, this is what life is about right here.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. If your fourth item, it has to be different, or how different it has to be from your other items. So if you're getting a Big Mac, is it always a chicken, or is it sometimes a hamburger?
I'm not going to get, if I'm doing a Big Mac, I'm not going to get a cheeseburger.
It has to be different than the main.
If I'm getting, like, it's now the McDonald's, I did a month, I don't really love it. Their attempt at the crispy chicken sandwich, got a cheeseburger with that. You know, the chicken and the beef. Like,
you never do some nuggets, maybe? A couple nuggets?
Well, fish stick, surf and turf?
I'm thinking, hold on.
I don't love
the nuggets. In my younger years, I would have like a phase where I'd be like, let me go get some nuggets, but I haven't done nuggets from a fast food place.
Do miss
in a while.
The Selects. Their jab at chicken tenders.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, guess you got a Big Mac with a little Selects too?
No, never.
You've done, Mike, after a night out, like, let me get, oh, I'll take a
I've
chicken quesadilla.
Taco
I'll take
Bell.
In, like, you know.
No, I don't add, like, I get one meal. And then I stick to it.
I don't stick to the combo. You stick to the combos. That's the difference here. I don't respect the combos. Like, I don't care if you're going to pre-choose what I want. Okay, I'm going to pick what I want from this place.
You know what, Cody? You know what you need? What we all need in Miami is a cookout. I assume that there isn't one in South Florida. But if you go to cookout.
There's cookouts in South Florida.
Have you ever been?
Yes. They cook out. They have barbecues in South Florida.
Oh, no, I mean like the fast food chain Cookout. It's very popular in the Carolinas.
Oh, no, very clearly we don't. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, at Cookout, so the menu is very, like, a huge variety. You can get, like, a combo platter, and it's, like, a cheeseburger with a quesadilla with, like, chicken nuggets or, like, a side of fries. Like, it's, like, the most vast, varied menu you could think of.
Oh, yeah?
And you go there, and then you don't have this issue where you're like, well, I want, like, three entrees, because, like, the entrees there are technically sides, and you can get, like, you don't have to do Wendy's and a Taco Bell order. You can get everything at the same place, and then you get a huge thing of cheer wine, which is, like, this soda thing that's really popular there, and you wash it all down, and it's amazing.
This is all the old me, by the way. New year, new me. I'm back. Like, I'm eating healthy. I brought a salad today. I just was saying, like, back in my day, I'm lying.
You were chronicling an anecdote from this weekend. You didn't want to put a straw in a soda.
Damn it, that was yesterday.
Panthers and University of Miami basketball team. I believe that Mike Ryan...
Two things that South Florida are historically passionate about.
I'm pretty sure over the weekend, I'm pretty sure Duke beat the Canes when Duclair made a goal, game-winning goal. And then, like, right... I think those stadiums are not very far from each other. And then the Canes beat Duke. It was just a fun wordplay. Symmetry. That happened this weekend.
That did happen this weekend. It was funny. Yeah, yeah. It
comes from a long line of writers, like to have fun. Folks.
Yeah, we like to have fun. Yeah, Miami, huge hockey town and huge college basketball town. And we love our Canes basketball. Charlie, what's it? More? Oh, my God. What a scoop and a finish.
Didn't you just fire Larinaga about 6 weeks ago?
I did. But a week and a half ago, I publicly apologized to Jim Larinaga. I don't think I just fired him. I may have alluded to just his mortality as well.
They looked pretty bad early in the season.
They looked bad. They were at 4-3.
They've been bad for several years. Yeah, the FBI wrecked them. Yeah. The FBI wrecked them. Yeah. And they're rebuilding now.
And I should have extended. I did mention it in my critique of Jim Larinaga, and I thought it was also a part of that whole Blake James conversation. They had it cooking. They had big time recruits committed, and then the Adidas thing happened, and it looked like the program and Jim Larinaga would never recover. And at 4-3 this season, where you barely eke out a win against FAU, it kind of looked like this program was headed in the wrong direction. I made that public observation, and I was wrong. Tonight, they play the Florida State Seminoles, and they are the only undefeated ACC basketball team. Jim Larinaga all time, and this is really impressive, is 7-7 against Duke.
I want to kind of put on your forehead somewhere on a t-shirt, not I was wrong, sell them at UM games, I was Wong.
Wong? I mean, Wong could potentially be an NBA player too. I really like the team, and look, it's always kind of a novelty when Miami is good in college basketball. They have no preordained right to being good, but why not? Why can't they be a good
basketball program? Play in the ACC and a lot of the best players are going other routes now, where I would think that the top end of college basketball is at least a little bit diluted just by the amount of money all over the world, and that the sport is just less strong at the top than it used to be, so a Baylor can sneak up there 1 year and you're like, how the hell did that happen?
Or even that the G League has gotten into this game. Like, a lot of the top draft picks are coming from that G League Ignite team.
But it's still special to beat Duke at the end when the game looked lost. There's, you know, you're a minute's left, you're down three, and that game feels lost. And you beat the number two team in the country. And they'll do that every once in a while. They just hadn't done it for a couple of years. Like, you say they play FSU. FSU, Leonard Hamilton has made FSU the program I thought that Miami was going to be.
The pandemic kind of jobbed FSU out of a potential title run in college basketball. That's how good Leonard Hamilton has that program humming. So it'll be curious to see what happens tonight. But Jim Larinaga is a really good coach. And even in my criticism, I never said that he was a bad coach. I just felt like the program was kind of dead in the water. There was no positive traction. Boy, was I wrong. And I couldn't be happier to be wrong.
Again, I was wrong is what it needs to be. That we need to put your face on a t-shirt, sell it at UM games. I was wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. Also, even though diehard college hoops guy, love the collegiate hardwood, very difficult sport for me to watch. It's so frustrating. So incredibly frustrating.
Because
that sport.
It's
because
not,
of the 1-1. You can just boil it down to the 1-1.
1-1 and also just dribble penetration, contested shot at the cup, kick it out, contested shot for three. probably not going to go in at the same clip you're used to if you're watching a lot of NBA basketball.
Mid-range jumpers are incredibly frustrating. Well,
it's like the ball bounces higher off of the rims in college basketball.
It's
I swear
bad
to
basketball
God.
Is what it is. You've gotten spoiled by how good those guys in the pros have made it look. Earlier over the weekend, Klay Thompson made his way into the NFL stream by just taking 18 shots in 20 minutes, and it's beautiful. Those guys have totally distorted the sport. The shooting is so ridiculously good. When you watch Klay Thompson and Steph Curry play basketball, they are shooting as well as anyone has ever done that. With a sphere, I remember, Mike, I remember where we were and when it happened the first time I saw on a fast break three Golden State Warriors spread out and two of them go to the corners. And the sport just changing right there because those guys are such good shooters. You'll never see that in college basketball. Like, you might see
people try
it, but it won't actually work.
I think that's my frustration with college basketball is you see people trying it all the time in college basketball, and you're asking yourself, why are you trying this? It's just it's a totally different sport. The way that MLS is like totally different than soccer, even though it's still technically soccer, you have to get used to it. And you buy into the tribalism of it and the prestige, but Miami doesn't have that with their college basketball program. So I really hope they have sustained success. I mean, I popped for the throwback basketball uniforms. Oh. That's the kind of history that we have.
The Miami Arena era.
Oh, an oversized Block M.
Can you guys believe, though, that the Duke with Zion Williamson and the team that they had, that the fatal flaw, the reason they didn't win the championship is, oh, wait a minute, they couldn't shoot threes.
Deja vu. That's going to be their problem. Look, I'm a huge college basketball expert now that I've watched one college basketball game this season.
And fired Larrañaga.
I'm concerned about Duke's chances in March.
You fired Larrañaga.
Again, I'm sorry, I was wrong. There's not enough of that in sports, and we shouldn't be, you know, constantly calling me to task for it. Here I am. I'm Mike. I was wrong.
Chris Whittingham, the Panthers, we are not wrong about them. They have been everything that we thought they were after last season, when you could have made an argument that the Panthers were the second best team in hockey last season. You could have formulated that argument even though they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
And for me, the most exciting game I've watched them play recently was actually a defeat. It was a loss away at Dallas. They lost in a shootout, but they were 5-4 down late, and that game was back and forth. It was a great game. It was 5-4 late, 2.5 minutes to go. They pulled the goalie, and the pressure that the Florida Panthers packed on for 2 minutes, they were pelting the poor Dallas Stars goaltender over and over. They would not let them get out of their own end. They finally broke them down and scored to make it 5-5 to send it to overtime. And it's like, we have a muscle that we can flex. And it's so, like, I'm getting used to the notion of actually being able to separate hockey teams from their quality, because I've never seen that before here in South Florida. I've never seen, like, well, this is what a good team looks like compared to a bad team. And they just have so many incredible talents.
We have realized with this team that we have been watching 20 years of bad hockey. It's sort of like what you see a quarterback play. It's what the frustration is in the Tua analysis. You want something that looks so special that it removes the doubt of, oh, wait, I don't have to think anymore about, are you excellent? I could just watch you and enjoy you be excellent.
We're the fun offense. Like, yeah, the Dolphins, yes. It's like the opposite of the Dolphins.
What Huberto's point streak is insane. I kind of, just because we hadn't heard it, and I ventured out with the take that, you know, the two best players in Florida Panther history are playing actively for the team. And it's one of those things, like, you hear Justin Tucker, greatest kicker of all time, wait a second. Or you hear someone say, Golden State Warriors, greatest shooting backcourt of all time, wait a second. And then you have a difficult time formulating an argument against. Huberto and Barkov are, I think, very clearly the best two players in Florida Panthers history. And they are actively at the peak of their powers for a really good hockey team. I think I love the puck.
But until they win that first playoff series, we're going to go into it scared shitless.
They better not see Kucherov again.
Well, yeah.
This mother, they better, and that better not be the Lightning again, just standing there with their...
Have you guys noticed, like, the Bob stuff is starting to, like, creep back into the picture a little bit? Bob was super dependable earlier in the season. I'm kind of worried. Bizarro Bob, bad Bob, shows back up again.
That is the key, because we need Bob to be what he was when he took that team. What was he before this?
Columbus,
yeah.
Big hockey guys.
Good work there, Chris Cody. Excellent.